This is Will's Band of the Week for May 20th, 2018. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Here I am. I just stole Craig's tagline.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, so there are podcasts where they have more than one person. When they do the introduction, they always have their catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have the stock thing that I always say.
Right.
So, but then everybody else has to have their own, like, sign-on slogan.
Yes.
Right?
Craig says, "Here I am."
Yeah.
Chris will go, "Hey."
Right.
And
yep.
I think I just say, "Hello."
Yeah.
So I need to develop my own.
Yeah.
So I'll be working on that.
I think the, you know, the scouts that listen and consider donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to us, they're looking for things like that.
Right.
You know, they want to have catchy slogans and sign-ons and, you know, little trademarks of the podcast.
Totally.
Right.
Like, what if Fonzie on Happy Days, instead of being like, "Hey," what if he's just like, "Hello"?
And yeah.
That wouldn't have taken off.
No, it's a good point. How many people know about Happy Days? Man, that was a long time
ago. I don't
know.
None of our employees ever know anything
about that. My God. Like, when was that show on? It was the 70s, right?
Yeah, like 74 to 80.
And it was basically set in the 50s. Right?
Set in the 1950s in Milwaukee.
Yeah, the 50s sock hop kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my favorite show by far. Nothing else was even close. Thursday nights on ABC. You had that. And then, can you tell me what was right after Happy Days?
No. And I think it's amazing that you remember it was on Thursdays.
Yeah. Thursdays at 7. And then after that would be Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Another, it's kind of a spinoff.
Yeah. I didn't watch that one much. Do you? So you didn't record it on your DVR. You actually watched it when it was on.
Yeah, your memory is faulty here because we didn't have those types of things back then. Not even a VCR.
No. Like, video recording was not
The
consumer world.
No.
I mean, it was only, I remember when maybe it was in like middle school or high school that somebody was like showing a videotape of something like that a person actually videoed. Now,
right.
Like, wow.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just do it on your phone, you know? I mean, imagine like if you were told then you'd be carrying around this device. I'm holding my phone in my hand now, and it would have all of your music, a camera, a video camera, audio camera, you know, not audio camera, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now getting back to even older television shows. Remember watching like Star Trek and they had the communicators, thinking like, wow, can you imagine?
I can't remember how the communicators worked.
It was like a little, it was like a little candy bar shaped thing. And they would just like push a button or flip a thing open and be like, beep, beep. And then they would talk. And
it was like a sophisticated walkie talkie.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, walkie talkie is the closest that we had to that.
But
right?
It just seemed like this miracle in the future that maybe someday we could have something like that.
Yeah.
What we have so far surpasses anything any of us could have imagined.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we like to start the podcast to establish that we're aging rockers, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what
we've
just did.
That with
did we just do it?
Those
I think
anecdotes.
We did. Yeah. So any live reports? Did you go scout out anything?
I did not see anything. No.
I have a couple things to mention, and so it's an excuse to play the jingle. Don't you think that when in doubt, we should play the jingle?
For sure. You know, I don't think the listeners maybe have an idea of what it looks like when we're doing this podcast, but Will is always playing air guitar when that thing comes on. Every time.
Yeah, I jump up and run around the studio. Yeah, you know, I probably have told the anecdote about how that guitar sound was made.
I don't remember.
So my friend had a this really cheap amp. It was like $50 or something. And but it didn't make good distortion. You know, it just sounded like a cheap guitar amp. Uh-huh. And I wanted it to be crunchier sounding, right?
Yeah.
So I plugged it into a tape deck, a cassette deck,
mm-hmm.
and just pegged the meters completely and then ran the output of the tape deck into the amp. So guitar uh-huh. into tape deck, pegged the meters, and out of that into the amp. And that's how that sound was made. I called it tape wow. deck distortion. Nobody else could do that. Neat. Nobody else could replicate that, right?
Well, now they can.
That's why the Rolling Stones couldn't get that sound, because they didn't know how I did it.
Right.
Yep.
Might want to edit that part out, because...
That's a good point.
You just mentioned how that was kind of a secret.
Well, I won't tell them what brand of tape deck I had.
Okay.
So maybe...
It was probably... I'm guessing that it was... Realistic brand from Radio Shack.
Realistic. Yeah. No, it wasn't realistic. But we're going to leave it confidential from there. We've got to have some secrets of the podcast, right? Yeah, I mean, we're pretty open true. About stuff. But okay, so this isn't really a traditional live report, but I forgot to mention last week that, and we've already talked about the frequency here, our beloved garage rock venue closing soon, next month. And last week, I forgot to mention that Grant got to play there. So that was pretty cool.
Very cool.
He got to play a last gig at the Frequency with his friend from high school. So their high school band, after practicing for like a total of maybe 3 hours, right. you know, and having not played in like 2 years, they put it all together.
They did.
It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really cool. And then, my band of Aging Rockers, we got a gig there too. So
I saw that.
We're trying to appropriately close out the Frequency,
mm-hmm.
but we got a 1 hour slot on a Wednesday night. So you can't pick your
what
prime
is the
time
date?
Gigs. It's June 6th.
June 6th.
So everybody can congregate to Madison, June 6th at 9 o'clock, and see the Mekons tribute project
mm-hmm.
called the Wecons.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be all. Mekons, I believe, except one song that we have, we decided to break the mold. I mean, your tribute band doesn't have to play all songs by that band, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, this song, I have always liked this song, so I want to play it because I want to know if the listeners know this. I have no idea if they know it.
Okay. I don't see the name, so I can
Yeah. So, here. Just listen to this.
I do not know that song. I have not heard that before.
I thought you might not have. Do you know who the band is?
I don't know. It sounds like, you know, I can tell it's not Cheap Trick. It's something power poppy from like, you know, it sounds like it's from around 1980 or something. I don't know.
You got to give yourself a little more credit. It was Cheap Trick.
It was?
Yeah. Have we ever talked about Cheap Trick on the podcast?
I'm sure we've mentioned it. We've never really, you know, covered it extensively. I wouldn't really have all that much to say, I guess.
I don't know, you know, how well known they were or are outside of kind of the Midwestern U.S. But they would, like, I Want You to Want Me live in Japan. That
yeah,
was
we
huge.
Know that at the, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like,
but they,
78, they were very big in Japan, like we are,
right.
I think.
So this is from their second album called In Color from 1977. Mm. And they're still playing. They're aging rockers, and they keep it going.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So anyway, that was an old favorite, so we decided to tack that on to the Mekons list.
Very nice. Yeah, I saw Robin Zander at a bar at like the Hilton at the airport has a bar. I saw him there. Pretty neat, huh?
Brush with Fame.
Yeah.
That's the singer for Cheap Trick, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then the guitar player, Rick Nielsen, he's known for having a ridiculous guitar collection. In fact, a friend of mine has been to his house and saw him, like, it's like a museum,
wow.
You know?
Huh.
Yeah.
That and having that weird hat that he wears.
Right. Like a baseball cap, right?
With the brim, like, whoop.
Oh, right. Flipped up. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, there you go. Aging rockers. What else do we have this week? I think I've got some extensive notes because I'm a top-notch music journalist.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've sort of covered the preliminaries, haven't we?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. There's a music news. There's a music news thing.
What is it?
The Preoccupations getting their stuff stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read about that?
I did read about that.
Okay, so they got stuff stolen, and then they replaced a bunch of it, and then like 3 days later, they got it all stolen again. Like twice within a week.
Yeah.
So they did a GoFundMe, and I made a donation on behalf of the podcast.
That was very nice.
Let me just read this. Preoccupations Gear Recovery Fund. It says, on the morning of May 15th, we woke up in San Francisco to find our beloved old van, our trailer, and all of our gear and merch stolen. This is the second time this week we were robbed, the first being in Vancouver. We had just rebought a lot of our gear and continued on the road again when we got hit a second time, this time losing almost everything. If you feel like donating to help this band back on the road and to help replace all the mics and gear our tour manager and tour mom lent us, we would appreciate it in every way possible. What we have to offer is our deepest gratitude right now. Either way, we will be back on the road soon. And then it says, thank you for all the love. We are overwhelmed by all the support you have given us. Preoccupations. P.S. Keep an eye out for a gold gray 2001 Ford E50 XLT van pulling a black Airdrie trailer.
Uh-huh.
God.
Wow.
It's horrible. But
now you hear about vans getting broken into and stuff, but to actually steal the vehicle,
yeah.
That brings it up to a whole another level of crime.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, that's, wow.
And how they're going to, you know, sell that stuff without getting caught. I mean, that's just weird, right? I don't even know how they would. But they put a $30,000 goal on their GoFundMe, and they're up to $27,000. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The fans have supported them well.
I think we should do this like a telethon, and we're not going to stop podcasting.
Until they reach the goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great that so many people are pitching in to help. And thanks for doing that on the podcast's behalf.
Yeah.
That was very generous.
Yes.
So
you guys all get credit.
Yep. That's one of those bands we've all, every one of the correspondents and myself and Chris have at one time or another been like, hey, have you heard of this thing? And then you're like, yeah, we did that on this and that date. That happened with me recently with Preoccupations.
Right. <Yeah.
laughs> And I think it just happened with David and Craig, cops to having that happen to him too. And so, yeah, it's hard to keep up sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially with the Grant's Underground when he squeezes a lot of them in there, you know, you can kind of forget.
Right. Well, this week we've got Eternal Summers, and they are indie rock veterans now, I think. I think this is album 4 or 5 for them. They're from Roanoke, Virginia. And Chris has been a fan of Eternal Summers also for a few albums, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I invited him to come on the podcast, but he had some, he's always invited, but I specifically invited him for this one.
Right.
And now he had something going on. He might be
coaching
in
coaching a basketball game or something.
Something like that. He might be on next week just to tantalize the listeners. We're going to try to recruit him for next week because of a new release that he is enthused about.
There's a lot of stuff that came out yesterday.
I downloaded five albums
that I can remember.
Yesterday morning, I downloaded 5 albums. It might have gone up to 6. Yeah, so it's like it's going to last us for a while. So anyway, Eternal Summers. I was at the point where I thought, their time had come and gone. Like, what can they do next that'll be interesting? But I also hadn't listened to their last couple of albums in, probably since, a couple of years ago. And, but I think they pulled it off. And then I went back and listened to some of their older stuff and I thought, this is really a good band. Mm-hmm. So, we need to boost them a little bit. So, the album is called Every Day It Feels Like I'm Dying, which is kind of a, sad album title. It is
sad.
But the album does not have that sound to it.
It's got a pretty sunshiny sound. It's
way more sunshiny than the title would suggest.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the things that they've done on the album. At least there's one song that's more poppy, keyboard-oriented, but I think it's pretty good. So why don't we start with that one? It's called Forever Mine. Eternal Summers.
Mm-hmm.
They're still rocking.
Rocking in a...
Pop rocking on that
pop
one.
Pop rocking.
Yeah. they pulled out the synth and said, hey, let's do a synth song.
Mm-hmm.
The album is still much more guitar than synth oriented. You know, if you read about... It seems like people are talking about this a lot. Like the NPR people always say this, how guitar rock is going out of style and that there's way more keyboard oriented music now for in popular music. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I think that, we are kind of guitar fans, right? I would say, like, by far the majority of the bands we talk about in the podcast are guitar-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
It's our thing, I guess.
Right. And you know, I mean, if you talk about popular music, like what's in the top 10, I would say probably very, very little of that, except for like maybe Ed Sheeran would be in the top 10.
Ed Sheeran, yeah.
Otherwise, like, that's just not the kind of music that gets played on, I was going to say on the radio. Is that even, do people listen to the radio?
I don't know.
Where do...
Or they listen to a suggested playlist, like,
yeah,
this is called The Hits on Spotify or Apple Music or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, one time, though, speaking of popular music, and I might have mentioned this another time, but Wilson and I were driving back from up north and just thought, like, hey, let's just listen to the top 10. So just for this week, we'll know what all these songs are. For weeks and weeks afterwards, I heard every one of these songs everywhere I went. It was weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's like, so it, do you, that as you a little, recognize them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And, so you just know, found a playlist that said this is the top 10,
yeah,
or something.
Or maybe
the
Billboard, like, top 10. Googled what the top 10 was and then found, yeah, the songs individually like that. I can't remember what we did, but
yeah,
try it and then you'll be surprised.
And how, like, how did you find it? Like, were the songs just painful to listen to, or was it just fine, you know, just, you know, but like, how did you react to it?
Well, I mean, the only song I can remember, well, I can remember two, actually. One, I don't know who the artist is, so I won't even, it was a song called Work. I think it's by, I don't even know, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
That one, it was kind of, the song itself was memorable enough, but the other one is by Meghan Trainor, and it was called, like, All About That Bass or something.
Hmm.
And it's an objectively bad song, but it's really also kind of hard to get it out of your head once you learn it, and then you start hearing it everywhere. So yeah, we'd go to like a swim meet, and they're playing it between heats and stuff, or be at, you know, the grocery store or wherever, bump music for the Today Show. Like, it doesn't matter. Anywhere you turn, you couldn't get away from that song and the others that we heard.
Hmm.
So give it a try if you want to just kind of take a peek at what's going on and how pervasive popular music is in ways that you don't really recognize. You don't even think about it. But I guess our parents would have said the same thing, you know, when we were like listening to top 40 music and stuff in the 70s, like, you know, would have described it in unfavorable,
yeah, maybe,
terms. And
yeah,
like, where are these songs coming from? I keep hearing them now, and I don't know.
I just looked up the Billboard Hot 100.
All right, what's number
to see
one?
If we've
do we even know what
Childish Gambino?
That song I
so
know.
I've heard of that.
I know, you got to watch that, yeah, video.
That's
what everybody's talking about these days.
And then 2 and 3 are both Drake. So of course, okay, we've heard of Drake. Post Malone featuring Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah, and BB Rexha and Florida Georgia Line. That must be country.
I think that's a country type, yeah, thing. Yeah.
Then we've got Zed, Marin, Morris, and Gray. I have no idea what
don't
that
know
is.
What that is.
Block Boy JB featuring Drake. So there's 2 Drake songs and 1 featuring Drake in the top 10.
Uh huh.
I'd say Drake is hot right now. Would you say, yeah, that? Then we've got Camila Cabello, Ed Sheeran, and I've heard of Ariana Grande.
Grande.
Is, yeah, it Grande?
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, yeah, I guess,
let's see how far you have to go down.
The fact that we have heard of these things is,
yeah,
a credit to us.
Yeah. Let's see how far you have to go down to, I bet you there's nothing in even like the top 100 that's ever been on the podcast. There's a Taylor Swift at 46. There's Meghan Trainor. She's number 59 right now. Post Malone. That's something that's pretty popular. He's got a whole bunch of songs in the top 100. Foster the People. Remember them. Don't think I ever listened to him, though. Now it's pretty, we're definitely out of touch with the top 100. Here's another thing. When I did the Google search, greatest of all time Billboard 200.
Really?
Billboard 200, the best album of all time is 21 by Adele.
Hmm.
Are these the top sellers ever? And that's because now they have to, but now it's not just sales. It's like they've figured out how to calculate, you know, downloads and stuff, right? So you've got the Adele album is ahead of the Sound of Music soundtrack and Thriller by Michael Jackson, not Michael Jordan. He'd make a good album if he wanted to, though.
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
Taylor Swift, Springsteen, Born in the USA, Carole King, Tapestry, still at number 10. It's kind of fun to look at that, right?
Yeah, totally. Huh.
Would you have thought that an
album...
The Sound
of Music soundtrack being number two was a big surprise.
Yeah, because it seems like it's so old-fashioned. There was one here that was surprising to me. Whipped Cream and Other Delights by Herb Alpert's Tijuana Brass. It's number 13. That's number 13 of all time.
Do you know how big Herb Alpert was?
I didn't know it was that 60s? Big.
Oh, my God. He'd have like three things in the top 10. He was the Drake of 1965 and 6. Seriously.
That's funny to think of it that way. Yeah. Okay, would you have thought, like, I have heard of this, but Daughtry? Is that a guy or a band?
I don't know. I feel like I've read that word, but I don't know what that is.
But it's the number 27 album of all time.
Wow.
It's like, it's man, oh man. Good. Where would we be on the best podcast of all time? Top 100 for sure, right? Got to be.
I don't know. We might just like the music that we talk about isn't on the top 100. We might not be. Yeah, you know, we're more of a niche thing.
Yeah.
For the cool people.
We're kind of we're underground.
Underground.
And then Grant's underground is kind of sub underground.
Right.
Right.
So you dig a hole in the basement.
Yeah.
That's how underground like Grant's thing is, but
like that club in Chicago, the Subterranean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a good name for a club, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is. Well, we were talking about the Eternal Summers album.
We got sidetracked.
Did you listen to this enough to make a pick?
I did.
You were going to listen to it, you said.
Yeah. I listened to it. I'm going to pick song number two.
That's called New Friend. Yes, definitely. And we all know that's the highlight of any band, right?
Totally.
The bass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just need it's almost just like a bass and a rhythm guitar for a lot of it.
Put anything over it, it's going to sound great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're kind of like the Who in that way.
Yeah. I always say John Entwistle doesn't even count as a bass player because he's a whole different category.
Yeah. That guy is insane.
Yeah.
Or was, rather.
Right.
Did he die before we started the podcast?
I think he might have.
Just before.
He must have, because he would have been a great Death of the Week discussion. We probably would have played the jingle.
Oh, he was for old sure. He, di- he was, A, yeah. he was old. B, yeah. he died at the Hard Rock Casino in Vegas with, like, cocaine and hookers all around. That's like
that gets the jingle for sure.
The jingle worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway, so we've played a couple of, I don't know, poppier tracks. So maybe we should play a rocker.
All right.
From the Eternal Summers album. I would say there's a little bit more variety on this album than some of their previous albums, but they still know how to rock when they wish to. This one's called Contenders. That's Eternal Summers.
Yep.
Doing some rocking. Every Day It Feels Like I'm Dying is the album title.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't sound like that. Sounds like
Every day it sounds like every day I feel like I'm happy. That's what they should have called it.
Yeah. And I think I think that could be a roll down the windows in the car and turn it up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
overall, what do you think about this? I mean, they're making music. This is a pretty crowded field that they're in.
True.
Is there something about them to you that sets them apart?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. It's like it's a fine thing. But
what is that?
Well, part of it's probably just the history that I've liked them for a while. Uh-huh. But I know, I think it's just really, it's well put together. It has a really good sound. It's really well recorded.
Very catchy. And,
yeah. But other than that, I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words. You know, there's going to be some things that are going to catch you and other things that won't.
Yeah.
But
I found myself wishing there was something I could find in it that set it apart.
Made it stand out a little more.
But it kind of, it sounds enough like a lot of other things that I've listened to over the last 5 years or whatever that I'm not sure how much time I'm going to spend listening to this in the future.
Yeah.
You know, it's good, but
it's a fair statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Eternal Summers.
Yeah. Give it a solid B+.
All right. So I thought there were so many things to listen to this week, and now there's even like a ton more for next week. So I've got a couple more things I can mention, and I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about Beach House. They're on their 7th album now. You know why they called their album 7? Because it's their 7th album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about it, it's just the number 7. No fancy Roman numeral. It's just a 7.
Just a 7.
Yeah, that is simplicity in album titling, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So let me just, I don't know, tell me if you agree with this. I'm going to make a statement about Beach House. All of their albums sound the same, and all of them are pretty decent. That's what I think about Beach House.
I would say that is exactly correct. I would say to me they're a little better than just like pretty decent. I think they're all
some good, of them are.
But they do sound have a uniformity in sound.
Yeah, And I was actually talking to Grant about this, and, you know, I made that comment. He said, that's just kind of their thing, you know? They're not trying to do anything different with each album.
Right.
I think their second or third album was a step up from their first. They kind of stepped it up to that level by their second or third album, and then every album since then is kind of, and I don't want to say coasting, because I think they're pretty good albums, but well, let's play a track, and then I have a couple more things I can say. I think I would like to start with track 3 called Lemon Glow.
Read my fortune to tell me what you see. Cross it like a T, it's all the same to me. This game I play, I do it every day. Promise I'll be fine, bear it every time.
That's Beach House from mm-hmm. Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
With a song that sounds a lot like Beach House.
It does.
Right? So I do like this album, and I wouldn't be playing it on the podcast if I didn't. But I also, this is kind of a related comment. It seems like with the last 3 albums or so, they come out with the album, and they're always the critics who say, boy, they've really stepped it up with this one. They've really done something beyond what they've done before. And then I always think, no, I don't think so.
Right.
It's just another Beach House album,
right?
Which is fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
But they aren't trying to break out of any kind of mold. They want to stay in their mold.
Right.
You know, one thing that I think we've talked about this when we've talked about them before, or I've mentioned it, that is, it's pretty clear that they're using electronics and, electronic drums for most or all of the recording. But I did see that when they were playing live, they were playing with a live drummer, which I think is great. That would make the difference. That would actually be the difference for me if I decide whether I want to go see them live. If they have a live drummer, I'll go. If they don't have a live drummer, I'm not going. There you go. I'm drawing the line in the sand right there.
You're talking about just this band, right? You wouldn't apply that to everybody.
I have a general attitude, but but with this band, that's the line in the sand is for this band. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have a live drummer. So they were just recently on one of those late night talk show things, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or Conan or something like that. Right. And they had a live drummer. So that was good.
Well, maybe they'll come to Madison, and hopefully if they do, they'll bring a live drummer.
They'll probably, after hearing this, they'll put on the promo poster, you know, with live drummer. Probably, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
So did you listen to this enough to make a pick?
I did not listen to it at all. I listened to this and another thing that was nominated, but
all right.
You know, I could just say play number 7. That's always a popular one.
Sure. Should we do that?
Sure.
It's called Black Car.
Black Car.
Yep.
At Speech House. You know, I think one reason, though I have to credit them, one reason that they're still going 7 albums in that don't sound very different is that they are good songwriters. And if you listen to these albums, you know, thoroughly enough, you really recognize that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, it's really well thought out. It's not just haphazardly put together.
Right. You know, there's also the sameness of their albums and songs. You could look at it that way and say, like, well, there's kind of a general idea that a band needs to progress. Like, you start off with an album and then building and getting better and better until, you know, till you're a great band, right? And lacking that progress, it's like, well, they're just doing the same thing over and over again. We could look at it that way, or another way to look at it would be like, yeah, like they found something that works and they're just comfortable doing this. And it just kind of depends on whether or not you like it. If you like the thing, then you'll defend it by saying like, hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And if you're not really liking it, you're like, maybe it's time for something new. What are these guys doing?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Kind of depends on the audience, right? Because if your audience is the type of people who are, you know, always curious about something different, then there's maybe more pressure to be different. If your audience likes the vibe that you're in, you know, and
right.
maybe they're open to more of the same kind of thing, right?
Right.
Let's play one more track. Let's see if this one also sounds like Beach House. It's called Woo.
So, you know, what if somebody was like, hey, let's listen to you on a road trip. Let's play some Beach House. Mm-hmm. What music, what album do you want to hear? It's like, the hell's the difference?
Yeah, I think let's I would, yeah, there's a couple in the wheelhouse, but I wouldn't, like, I can't tell you right now. I can't, like, think in my head of a specific track that's on a specific album, you know?
Right.
But I've listened to pretty much all of them, I think. So, like, if they came here and they played... If I went to see them live, it'd be fun because I'd probably remember most of the songs, if not all the songs that they play. So that'd be cool. But I wouldn't right. be able to tell you what album they were on.
Oh, for sure. Me either.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I'd recognize every one of them or I'd think like, yeah, I feel like I heard that song. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah.
Like I'd have that feeling
might be like
throughout
that.
The concert.
Yeah. All right. Well.
And that's I like everything that I've ever heard them do. So I don't mean that as any kind of a put down. Yeah, they just found something that works.
Yep.
And it's very nice. You know, I read this set of a different band you could look at this as like listening to one of these songs is just kind of, or one of these albums is just kind of like a soothing medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every year and a half or whatever, you get a refill the prescription.
Yeah.
Get a new one.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's makes me feel good in that familiar way that I was looking for. So
it's a beach house refill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good one. All right. Now, you might think that we're up to $0 or slightly above right now, which I kind of think we are. Do you think we're above zero? You seem to have some concerns.
I think we still, like if we stopped right now, we'd have to write everybody a small check.
Okay. Well, I've got a bonus band going. I can talk about.
Okay.
Do you have a bonus band you want to talk about?
Yeah. I mean, we're starting to really test people's patience maybe.
Yeah.
I'll be brief with mine.
Okay. Yeah. What do we got?
I listen to the Sea and Cake.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that once. Chicago
post-rock band.
I listened to it not enough to make a pick, and mm-hmm. I just thought, but you know what? Like, what's the guy's name? I read about
Sam
it.
Sam Prekop?
Yeah, I read about it, and I thought, I've heard that name before. Maybe yeah. I just was when I was reading about a previous album by them.
Well, so. Both him and the other guy, Archer Pruitt, they're just in all kinds of Chicago bands, like Tortoise and Sea and Cake and... You know, Shrimp Boat and Gastro del Sol and like
so they're
all of these bands just kind of share members with each other.
The Sea and Cake has been around a long time.
Yeah, I read it's been 24 years, so almost their silver anniversary.
Well, they're right in our aging rocker wheelhouse there, then.
Yeah.
But I would not have been able to, I wouldn't have even remembered that they were from Chicago, but I read about them when this album came out.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know that.
Yeah,
so,
this album is called, I can't read that. Okay, this album is called Any Day, and clocks in at a brisk 39 minutes, so I approve of that
mm-hmm.
right away. And actually, the little prescription anecdote I told about Beach House was applied to this band in a review. And yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, you hear Sam Prekop's voice, and you know, just kind of the guitar sound and stuff like that. It's all very familiar. It always works, and though it's been 6 years since they had an album out, it just sounds like they haven't missed a day. So I am going to pick a song called Occurs. So kind of the signature sounds are the kind of breathy vocals and have a jazzy little guitar.
Yeah, really clean sound.
Yeah.
Punchy drums.
Archer Pruitt and the drums too, yeah.
Yeah.
You're always noticing the drums more than I am, you know. So, good for you. Stick up for the drums.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, I didn't listen to this enough that I noticed anything drastically different from the ones that I know. And I don't know all of their things, but I have, you know, kind of into them about like 10 or 15 years ago. So this sounds similar to what I remember about that. It's very nice.
Should play at least one more track.
Sure.
Do you have a selection?
Well, I was listening to this as I was running, and it was in my pocket, so I couldn't like see what the names of the songs were. So I'll just pick one with a cool name.
That's a good idea.
How about Into Rain?
What am I waiting for? It's not over there. A second's passed awake and I'm only finding a sort of my shift at ease. I got and I'm into it. So far, so gone, forgive, I know. Appears to be. Try to let go of my affairs, I get alone. All along what's clear to me, what's ticking so, we're out of time. If all this can resist, we don't belong, yeah. Appears to be, yeah. I'd imagine the fall, just over the fence. To be, yeah. I can never return. Let's leave it alone. Standing closer, cast a moment set aside. What you see I got, I still just holding together my falls. Remember all the showing. I'm falling this hard, it leaves a lot. Become untangled.
The Sea and Cake, and the album is called Any Day.
Mm-hmm.
Good aging rockers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's good. It's got a good sound. The I just looked at their band bio that says that they are a American rock band with a jazz influence.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of true, right?
Yeah. Do you remember the band The Cocktails?
I remember the name.
Yeah, Cocktails without the letter K. Archer Pruitt was in that band, and they were kind of like a fake jazz. Their early stuff is like fake jazz or garage jazz, I think they call it.
Huh.
And it's really funny. Might be hard to understand why something I just described as that way would be funny,
yeah.
but it is.
We've talked about that, how it's like, it's hard to grasp music being funny sometimes.
Right, and it's not because they're singing songs like about funny things, like they're not jokes,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, whatever. They play a song that sounds kind of like jazz, but like the worst cliches about jazz and also done poorly and stuff, so it's kind of funny.
That's good. All right. Okay, I'll do my bonus band really quickly here. This is a thing I discovered, and I've got a credit. There's a guy. You know, there are people on the internet doing all kinds of stuff. Do you know that?
Yep.
That's my philosophical statement for today. So there's a guy who has a site, and it's called Snooping the Bandcamp. So basically, you know, he scours Bandcamp for interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every day he posts something. And his taste is, he's got a pretty big overlap, I think, with the stuff that we talk about, with a leaning toward the Australia, New Zealand jangle pop type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he finds really interesting stuff. So it's a fun resource. And so I've started to listen to the stuff that he's posted. And there was a fun one a couple of weeks ago called Los Puncetas. And it's a band from Madrid, and they sing in Spanish. And there's a the streaming services have a self-titled album, but it seems to be put together as a compilation. And I believe the songs are really from like around 2005, 2007 range. And I'm not even sure if the band is still active, but it's a cool sound, and you can find it on the streaming services. But let's play a little bit so you see what I mean. All right, are we ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to start with a track called Dos Policias. I'm guessing that means the police. What do you think?
Let me take a look. Yeah, or could mean two policies.
It could mean that too. They will be able to tell by just how the song police. Sounds.
Yeah.
Los Punsetas.
Okay, looking at the lyrics here, doing some really bad translation, but Dos Policias en la Vía Carpentada, and that, you know, they mentioned several different streets and stuff, so I think it is like two police officers. Dos Policias cerca de tu casa, near your house. So, yeah, I'm going to give this to Wilson for a proper translation. I think he'd like to listen to it too. So
cool.
Yeah.
Good idea. All right, I want to play a couple more snippets. Here's a track called Fin del Mundo. Yeah, it's got the jangle pop thing, but it's from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Madrid. Want to hear a Madrid trivia item?
Yes.
My next door neighbors are going to Madrid for a year.
That is trivia. I would not have known the answer to that question.
They're going to spend the entire year in Madrid.
Wow.
He is going to be in charge of a study abroad program over there.
Wow.
So seems pretty excited.
Kinda jealous.
Yeah. He's from Portugal, my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So
he'll fit right in. He's
familiar with the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. Sounds like a fun, bold move.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping they come back because they're good neighbors. I think they will. He says they will.
Is it the ones?
That side.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the guy over there. That's the Vikings fan, right?
Yeah.
It's not too bad. They're not leaving.
Yeah. Sheesh. Barrett wants them out of the neighborhood.
No, he's actually nice. I met him one time like 5 years ago, but now every time I see him, and it's always right there as I'm walking to your house, he's friendly and says hi. And
yeah. And then every time you're amazed because he's nice, even though he's a Minnesota Vikings fan.
I know.
Yeah, he's on the wrong team. Yeah. All right, let's play one more little bit from Los Punsetas. This is called Accidentis. That's Los Punsetas.
Yeah, I like it.
Kind of fun band, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, there's a really tiny Wikipedia article that just basically says they're a band from Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some hit on the Latin American charts. But it makes it look like they're still a current band. So, maybe they are. They should keep on rocking.
Well, isn't this album from...
It's a release from 2018. And it's on Bandcamp. And it's on the Bandcamp page. It says LP1 plus Maquetas y Rarezas, which must mean like rarities or something, 2004 to 2009.
Oh, I see.
But then it says that they have upcoming shows.
That would be an indication that they're still together.
Yeah, but there's just one on August 2nd and one on September 28th. So they're not playing a lot. They look like cool rockers, though,
yeah,
don't they?
They do.
In their photo. Yeah. So, anyway, cool. That was a fun discovery. So I thought I'd pass it on to the listeners. And even though you brought it above zero with the C and cake, now it is just vaulted.
Yeah.
I think people will start sending us money. Because you'd feel bad, right? If you listened to it and you realized that you got more than $0 worth, you'd think that you'd want to send a payment.
Yeah. You would think. But, yeah.
Maybe I should just set up a PayPal account under willsband@yahoo.com just so people can send money.
Yeah.
And then maybe some benefactor would just suddenly there'd be $1 million in the account.
Yeah, it'd be like, right.
Why not? It only takes one.
Right. We just need a patron.
Yeah. One patron.
And that person can, this would actually work just fine. This person could tell us what to talk about. Tell us whether we liked it.
Yeah.
We might lose a little bit of integrity, but we'd more than make up for it with
money.
With money.
Good point. Yeah.
If that person is you, and maybe you're a label head and You want us just to talk about bands on your label and how great they are.
Yeah.
We're your guys. We can do that.
Yeah, good. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we'll get that set up.
Yep.
But for now, that's it. That's $0 for this week. Now, I don't think we were recording yet when we started talking about all the releases from this week, right? I think I downloaded 5 albums yesterday morning.
Yeah.
I've got this huge list. Let me see how many things are on my list to listen to. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's about 9 things that I kind of have on my own little
intention. Oh, I didn't see this one that you have up there right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that one. That one just came out. And this
that
one
guy
I just
a lot.
Just read about this one, which is good.
Uh-huh.
And then there's that one.
Well, that one I'm very excited about.
That's a major one, right? And then mm-hmm. this one, too.
That's another major one.
Yeah. And then there was this one I discovered.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
That's an album that sounds exactly like you're in 1986.
Wow.
It'll transport you to 1986, even though it was recorded just recently.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that
okay.
came out yesterday, too?
I think it might have been a week ago. So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to...
We'll talk about that in post-production. But for now, we should probably sign off so the listeners can get back to their real lives. Right. I mean, yep. Not that they weren't living their real lives while listening to this. That's probably
to
a good
other
quality part
of their real lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll have to, after this is over, unfortunately, you're going to have to put on a different podcast or maybe just listen to some music, right?
Right.
All right. Let's sign off. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.